Well, I'm thankful to be here, thankful to be your brother. And it's been my experience, it's my testimony, that the Lord has been faithful to us in Ohio, like I've heard from your testimonies. I'm thankful that the Lord is the same everywhere, and He is still at work today in the lives of His children. That's a calling that I aspire to all the days of my life. I ask for your prayers this afternoon. The Lord would visit with us from His Word. I'd like to consider a principle that's laid out in Scripture that I believe is important and pertinent to our lives. I believe that the Lord is interested in helping us in life, many different facets of our lives. I believe the Lord wants to go home with us, and I believe He wants to help in our relationships and our dealings with people and on our jobs, and I believe He wants to help with our finances and so many aspects of our lives. I'd like to begin this afternoon in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4. We'll read the 10th verse. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whenever we think about stewardship, it's kind of a big word, but quite simply put, it's taking good care and being responsible with what's been given to you. And you know that affects, again, many aspects of our lives. I believe it's important what we do with our finances. I believe it's important how we care for those things. And I think about when the children of Israel were led up out of the land of their captivity, out of the land of Egypt. The Lord sent them up, it says, with a high hand. But you know, the Lord sent them out of the land with a high hand for a reason. And there came a time that He called for that. Well, indirectly He did. There was a call that went forth that there is a need. There's a need for the building of God's work, of His building. And everyone whose heart stirred them up within them gave of their means, of which were some of the very things that God had sent them out of Egypt with, that they hadn't earned, that wasn't maybe passed down in the family. And I believe the Scripture says, Lord, we give to Thee from our hands that which is Thine. You know, I believe it's a good outlook for us to have in life. That the things that I have are really, it's really not a matter of ownership. It's a matter of stewardship. It's not that the things that I have, that I possess, really belong to me or I can really lay claim to it. But the Lord is calling for good stewardship of the things that He's given into my hands. Well, I want to come back and deal with the stewardship that I believe is really being addressed here. But along with the thought of stewardship, I'd like for us to consider the familiar parable that's found in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. This is the story, the parable of the talents. And I'll read just a portion of this and call to your remembrance the one that had received one talent. Beginning in the 24th verse, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. What did the Lord say to him? Thank you, servant. Thank you that you didn't lose it. Well, that's important, isn't it? But you know, there came an expectation from the master. An expectation of what I've given to you. And what I gather from this, he said, the Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. You know, I'd rather hear the Lord say in a setting such as this, thou ought to, than to hear Him say in past tense, thou oughtest to have. You should have. The expectation that was communicated to him here was that I wanted to get not only what I gave to you, but what the Lord gives to us, He gives to us with purpose, with a reason, and because He wants to get a return out of it. Not that I can multiply something in my own hands, but the same God that multiplied the loaves and the fish wants to multiply what He gives to our care. And I want us to realize I'm talking about so much more today than money and finances. Again, it touches that aspect of our life and is probably deserving of a study in and of itself. But every aspect of our lives, do we realize today that what we have is the Lord's? So the question then becomes, what am I doing with what I have? I don't want when the Lord comes along to say, well, Lord, I held on to it. I saved it. I didn't lose it per se. Am I putting to good stewardship what the Lord has committed under my care, under my keeping? Let's think of a few talents that the Lord has given to us. I believe this is about more than ability or skill. Probably more accurately from the context of this, it was a unit of money. But what are some of the things that the Lord has given to us? I'll testify for myself the one thing that I have been a recipient of, and that is the great mercy of God. And without taking the time to turn and read it, I want to call your minds to another story that Jesus gave of a man who owed just a small amount. But he didn't have the means to pay it. And his Lord had mercy upon him and forgave the debt, free and clear. And he went on his way, and it wasn't very long at all until he remembered that somebody, well, he owed the great debt. He remembered that somebody owed him a small debt. And he took him by the throat and said, pay me everything that you owe me. What's the problem with that? You know, this principle of stewardship applies to this area as well. When it has been committed unto me the great mercy of God, there is an expectation of what I do with His mercy, of how I handle that, and of what I do with others that the Lord brings into my path. I don't want to take Him by the throat. I don't want to exact of them more than what the Lord has exacted of me. Stewardship of the mercy of God. The scripture says of comfort. You ever been comforted of the Lord? You know you're going to face hardship whether you live for the Lord or you don't. And I'd sure rather have a comforter and a helper that goes through life with me. I remember calling Brother Gracie one time. He had been through some difficult places and was asking him how he was doing. And, well, he said in so many words, the Lord's helping me. And he said, you know, I find that the grace of God is kind of like four-wheel drive. And about time, it seems like my wheels are spinning. I go to the Lord, to the throne of grace, and He gives me what I need to be able to rise up above it. You know, the Lord has grace to give to us, to each one of us. You know, there is a grace of comfort that I can't give to you, but I have a part to play. There are places in my heart, in my life, that no one could really touch but the Lord. 2 Corinthians, familiar Scripture in 1 and 4, it says, who comforteth us, the God of all comfort. He comforteth us in all our tribulation. To what end? That I might go through life comfortable. Well, of course not. That I might go through life and be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. You see, I've received a gift from the Lord. I've received the Lord's grace and His help and His comfort. You think the Lord allows hardship in our lives for no purpose, to no end? If it was said of Jesus that it behooved Him to suffer, that He might be able to help us, you know there's a purpose for our sufferings as well. There's a purpose for the things that we go through in life as well. That which we find from the Lord, oh folks, take it. Use it, cherish it, and spend it on others. The Lord's got enough to go around. The storehouse of His grace isn't about to go bankrupt. There's enough to go around. There's enough for me and enough for more. You know the way the multiplication of the loaves and the fish worked? As I understand or read it, they'd reach in and about time they pull out, there was more right there. I don't want to live my life stingily with the things that the Lord has blessed me with. No man lives unto himself. Lord, what can I do with what You've given unto me? Thank the Lord for what I count a treasure to be here in this place. For how many ever days you might be able to be here. You know, I want to make the best use of what I can get out of this meeting for my life and for those that are around me. The Word of God. Do you count that, as has already, I believe, been mentioned in this meeting? Do you count it a treasure? Do you count it something of great value? You know, there's a responsibility that comes with the Word of God. That begs the question, what do I do with it? Romans, the 3rd chapter in the 2nd verse says, much every way, and chiefly because unto them, or unto the Jewish people and nation, was committed the oracles of God. Such a treasure that was committed unto them. But it's not enough for us to have the treasure of memories of others gone by, gone before us. What am I doing with the Word of God in my life? You know, I'm here saying, Lord, I want what You have for me. But the Lord's also challenged me that I have to ask the question, what have I done with the Lord's Word from last year? What have I done with what the Lord brought to me in the past? I can kind of get picky and start to pick over and say, Lord, I'm ready for something else now. But part of stewardship is given diligent care to what's already been given to me. And unto Him which is faithful in little will be committed more. And unto him that hath shall be more be given. That's what Jesus said. It's about what I'm doing with what the Lord's already given to me. And can the Lord entrust me with more? The Lord gives His Word to affect something in our lives. To produce something, to do something for us that translates into fruit that is evident, that is real, that is tangible in my life. So it's wonderful to be able to come and enjoy the presence and the blessings of the Lord. But there also comes with it a responsibility. What am I doing with what the Lord is sent my way? What am I doing with the message that I heard that pricked my heart? Oh, Brother James talked about the danger of hearing it and going my way and not doing anything with it. That you'll be like somebody that looks in the mirror and you go your way and you soon forget what it was that the Lord showed you. And he said the danger of it is that you deceive yourselves. I've got to assimilate, take in, digest, allow the Word to work in my life. It's not enough to hear it. We are stewards of a gift that every one of us have that sit here today, but a gift that will one day be taken from every one of us. and that is the gift of time. Brother Willie mentioned it in his testimony of what the Lord has done for him, of how he realized in a greater way than ever before what a wonderful gift that every day and every moment is. And yet how easily we can rapidly pass by the milestones of time without making the most of it. Remember now, the Scripture says, in the days of your youth. Because I want to put to the best stewardship the time that I have. The best way to do that is from the youngest possible age that you can. Give it to the Lord. Give your strength to the Lord. Give your life to the Lord. And you will be saved from so much. Don't let the enemy tell you, by the way, young people, whenever you haven't gone out and come back with a testimony, that I've gone out and I tried the ways of sin, and I tried the drugs, and I tried the drink, and I tried all those things, and I came back to the Lord, and the enemy comes along saying, you don't have a testimony like that, just shut up. I'm going to tell you, you give your life to the Lord from your youth. And it's a greater treasure than even coming back. The Lord will save you from so much that is stolen and robbed and stripped away from you that could have been put to good and wholesome use. Don't allow the enemy to take it from you in the first place. But let's talk about those from whom the enemy has stolen. The end of your story is not yet reached. Come back and let the Lord make the best use of the remaining time that you have. And the only way to do that is give it to the Lord. He's the one that's able to restore those years that have been stripped away from you. That's able to help us to redeem the time, to make the best use of the time that I have left. We've heard about Holy Spirit leadership in this meeting. You know, we only have 29-30 services in this meeting. And you know, every moment that we have is precious and valuable. One thing that I remember about Brother Michael Williamson, if you'll indulge me for a moment, is he counted and shared often how he counted so valuable the gift represented by that clock. And the time that is passing by every one of us, even in a setting such as this, there comes a responsibility with it, with time that's entrusted to us, with the gift, the wonderful gift of Holy Spirit leadership. There comes a responsibility with it. How do I be a good steward then of the time God has given me? Be led by the Spirit. Don't lean into your own understanding. Don't pursue your own emotions, but be led by the Spirit of God. And whatever that looks like, it will be wholesome and edifying and the very best use of that space of time that we could have possibly made. I want to be a good steward of the time that the Lord has given. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse. It gives us a wonderful promise. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who is able, right along with that that He's allowing you to go through, He's given you a way of escape. You know, sometimes that escape is an escape hatch that involves going down through humility. But the Lord gives us an escape. But He also doesn't force us out the escape. You see, it's been committed to me. The Lord has given to me a way of escape with the responsibility that I take it. We heard this morning about the very scriptural principle of suffering. You ever think of your suffering as a gift? It's a hard way to see it, isn't it? You know, whenever we glimpse beyond the veil, as we see in the story of Job, We see something that we don't see in our lives. We see the other side of just what the Lord was doing. And the Lord said, I trust my servant. And I'm going to entrust him with this temptation that you're bringing to him. What do we do with the trust that the Lord places in us? You know, it's not just automatic. The suffering is going to produce the graces of God. It's not just automatic that I go through hard times and I'm going to come out like gold. You know, I can go through hard times and I can come out the other end destroyed. Or I can use this place to say, Lord, make gold out of me. Lord, I don't want this thing to go to waste. Lord, if I'm paying tuition, I want to learn. I want to get something out of the other side of this. I don't want to take this class again. Lord, help me to make the most of what you've given me. It is an opportunity to be more like Christ. Lord, I don't want to squander the opportunity. 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews talks about the chastening of the Lord, and it says, whom the Lord loves, that's the one that he chastens. Whether in the moment it feels like it or not. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness, thank the Lord. But it said, unto them who are exercised thereby. It's not just automatic. It's not something that's just going to become affixed to me because I go through hardship. You know, I can go through reverses and hard places of life and come out bitter and scornful and a person that nobody wants to be around. Or I can come out the other side by the grace of God, sweeter and knowing a little bit more of my Lord. You see, the scripture that we started with said, be good stewards of what? It said, of the manifold grace of God. You know, the grace of God will be there for us. The grace of God will not fail us. The grace of God is manifold. It is many. It is various. It is fitted to whatever it is that I or you face in life. The grace of God is there for me. It's there for that situation. It's there for that problem. And it makes the difference between a bitter and hateful man or a sweet person that's been molded by the hand and the Spirit of God. The grace is there. It's been committed unto me. It's been made available unto me. But I have to avail it. I have to put it into practice and work in my life. Or it'll pass right on by and not do anything for me. So be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Lord, help me to take advantage of your grace. I believe one scripture says that you receive not the grace of God in vain. It tells me then that it's possible that the grace of God can come unto me, can be presented unto me in my situation, and it be in vain. Not because the grace of God failed, but lest any of you should fail of the grace of God, should seem to come short of it, should fail to put it into practice and use in my life. There are other things the Lord has given unto us. 2 Peter, the first chapter. There is something that is precious given to us. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There has been committed unto us many, many exceeding great and precious promises that are for you and are for me. But I hope you get the theme by now. They're not just automatic. Don't you love the one that says, "We know that all things work together for good. Thank the Lord." To those who love God and are called according to the purpose that He has for you in your life, in this seemingly bad situation, that are willing to submit themselves to the great purpose of God, that promise will work for you. The promise is for all of us. It is available for everyone. But it only works for those that let it work in their lives. You remember Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, whenever he strayed by his own error out of the way, an old giant despair came and rounded him up and took him where? To Doubting Castle, locked him up, and it seemed that he despaired of life itself. It's all over. He could see hear the wells, and he could see the bones outside of those who have perished right here. You ever have the enemy come along and say, "It's it. It's over for you"? You know there's a promise for you. And Christian, finally, he remembered in his darkest hour, "You know what? I was given a key. I don't know, but it's worth a try." Folks, prove the Lord. Try the Lord. Let's try His promises and see if they still work today. He pulled the key out and he tried it in the door. And it opened up, of course, the door that held him bound. Folks, the Lord has a promise for you. And on that keychain, it's got your name. But remember to pull it out. Remember when you leave camp meeting and the saints aren't around. Remember whenever you don't have the songs of Zion just reverberating in your ears. Remember the promise is just as valid as it is when this building's ringing. Remember that God is just as present and available for you then. Lord, help me to make good use of the promises that He has for me. The Lord equips us for the battle. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, what we likely know well, we're told, "Finally, my brethren," in the 10th verse, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Well, that sounds good, but how are you going to do it? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord's equipped us. The Lord has made available to us everything that we need to be successful. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Paul said that he was convinced of something, that the Lord was able to keep that which had been committed. The Lord is able to keep it all the way to the end. I don't know what the end holds. I don't know what it's like. I don't know what's between here and there. But I'm confident, not in myself, not in my flesh, not in my abilities, but my confidence and my assurance is in the Lord, that He is able to keep me. He's given, without reading it all, He's given us all of the vital pieces of armor needed to protect us against the enemy of our souls and whatever He has devised for your and my destruction. It doesn't have to work. I was blessed by a bumper sticker that I saw the other day that said, "Not today, Satan. Not today." Well, that's all we live is today anyway. And I can keep the bumper sticker tomorrow too. "I'm sorry, Satan, not today. You're not getting it. It's not yours." And there's something the Lord's given me. He's given me a shield. whereby we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. The ones that are aimed right at you. The ones that the enemy says, I got him with this one. You think the enemy is a poor marksman? You think the enemy doesn't know what might touch you? You think he doesn't know where my vulnerabilities are? Of course. He says, right here. This is it. Not today, Satan. But there's something that I got to do. A shield does no good at my feet. A shield does no good unless I reach down and I lift it and raise it up in the moment of incoming fire. It's a daily battle. And I've got to lift the shield of faith and raise it. And if I'm willing to do that, my little part, the Lord's already provided what will avail. But I got to put it into practice. I got to put on the armor. I got to lift the shield. And I got to wield the sword. I've got to use it. It's there for me. But I have to have good stewardship to not just leave it at home in the closet. Folks, don't leave your experience at Monarch and pick it up again next year when you come back. Take it home with you. You feel like rejoicing at Monarch? Thank the Lord, rejoice. Take it home with you and rejoice when the enemy's on your trail. Take His promises home with you. Take the messages home with you. And put them into practice. Chances are, we might not be able to use 30 messages while we're here. But I'd venture to say over the next 365 days, we'll have a pretty good opportunity to put them into practice. They can work for us if I put them to work. You believe that prayer works? Then put it to work. And I say that for myself as well. Oh, the song says, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. It doesn't matter how big, and yet sometimes it's the small things that can get me and can begin to pile on. Well, I got this one. I just got to take care of this. I just got to figure this one out. Take it all to the Lord in prayer. Don't tackle the day without saying, Lord, I need your help. I've done this a lot of times, Lord, but I need your help with this one. Prayer works, but I have to practice it. I remember a few years ago, we had a family reunion. Suppose I have cousins here. It was just down the road in a community building, and we enjoyed being able to see cousins and aunts and uncles and spend a little time together. And it was in a hot July, Missouri summer day. We got into the building, and as time passed, we began sharing more than memories, but sweat. And started looking for the exit. It got hot. And the more people that came in, the more the merrier, the more the hotter. And well, it might be a good time to be going. It's good to see you all. You know, I got word after I took an early exit. Someone said, you know what we found after most of you left? We were cleaning up, getting ready to shut down the building. We moved something aside and we saw a thermostat on the wall. And we switched it on, and that building started cooling right down. You know what it means in light of what I believe the Lord has for us this afternoon? Folks, the switch is on the wall. But I got to go switch it on. Folks, the Lord's promises are there. His grace is there for me. I don't have to just sit here and sweat it out. I don't have to just sit here and just... There is endurance in living for the Lord. Having done all to stand, stand. Stand there. But don't do it by yourself. Don't stand alone. The Lord has for us what we need to be able to endure, be faithful, and enjoy our salvation. And to be able to share with others the good things of God. So Lord, help us to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You pray for me. Amen.